How y'all doing this afternoon? Are you sure? I hope if you're doing well, considering God has brought you back, that means that you are in a blessed state. Because he could have had you a whole bunch of different places, but he decided to bring you back here. So you should be excited to be back in God's house. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Green, for leading us in our singing. And Brother Lambert for leading us in our scripture reading. And Brother Solomon for our prayer. Isn't it good to see Brother Lambert up reading, singing? See, that's what I'm talking about. You don't have to, take too much time to go to work. Yeah, Brother Lambert said, hey, I got baptized last month and I'm reading scripture today. That's what I'm talking about. That's what God would have of us. As soon as we're able to embrace his word and to be able to be Christians, is that he wants us to get to work immediately. I wish that we all would continue with the zeal that we have when we were first baptized. Some of us are struggling because we forgot the zeal that we had when we were first baptized, and we need to get back to work. But I'm just happy to see Brother Lambert working so quickly. And I'm thankful to the leadership for allowing him to be in that role immediately to work that way. So good to be here. I won't hold you long. Y'all go ahead and laugh when I say that. Go ahead. I plan not to hold you long. But if you would, turn your books, your Bibles, to Acts the 12th chapter. This is a familiar passage of scripture. We realize that the Jews, or the Christians, were under quite a bit of persecution underneath the rule of Herod. And Herod wasn't the only person that persecuted the Jews. We know that Nero did the same thing. A number of kings did the same thing of persecuting Christians in the early church. And we start off this passage with Herod just killing James, the brother of John. And now he has his eyes set on Peter. Right. Now, we know, we talked about Peter this morning in Bible study. And Peter just seems like if there was somebody that was coming after, it'd be Peter. And the reason why we believe that, the reason why I say that, is because Peter was quite a talkative person. He had a bodacious personality. Peter was one of those people that had no fear at all in preaching the word of God. So we know that Peter seems to be an easy target. And at this state in the game, or at this time of scripture, Herod has set his eyes on Peter. If we would, let's just read a few of these verses, and then we'll get to our lesson. About the time King Herod began to harass some who belonged to the church, he had James, John's brother, killed with a sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he arrested Peter as well. This happened during the festival of the unleavened bread. He put Peter in prison, handed him over to four squads of soldiers, 16 in all, who guarded him. He planned to charge him publicly after the Passover. While Peter was held in prison, the church offered earnest prayer to God for him. From this text, I would like to offer you up the subject: watch what we do while you wait. Now I think you want to watch what we do while you wait. We know here that Herod plans on getting rid of Peter. But the problem with Herod getting rid of Peter is that Herod wants to make this a very public event. See, he knows that Peter is a very influential gospel preacher. So Herod doesn't just want to just kill Peter. He wants to put him on display. And the problem with him putting Peter on display is that when he put Peter on display, he gave the people of God some time to pray. Amen. See, Herod might have been better off if he had just killed Peter right away. But what happened was, he was trying to show out. See, he was showing out, and he was going to make sure that the people knew what would happen if you follow Christ, and that the people knew that he was going to do some cruel things to the Christians. And the Bible just says, well, why is he going to do these things? Well, the Bible says, because when he killed James, it pleased the Jews. Right? So Herod is trying to, he's trying to make a political move. He doesn't necessarily believe in what the Christians are preaching, but Herod himself is a politician. Now watch what happens. See, Herod is, I'm going to repeat this, Herod is a politician. So while Herod doesn't really care much about what the Jews, I mean, what the Christians are preaching, his stance really, his problem really is that God, or that the children of the Christians are a threat to, or a threat to his kingdom. See, and what you got to watch anytime politicians or people like that, that get into political situations, see, they don't have, their loyalty is not to God. Their loyalty is to their own agenda. And what happens with politicians is, politicians will make some laws, they'll break some laws if they think it's going to get them a couple more votes. They'll do some things that are against what the Christians believe if they think it's something that the people want. And the problem is that the people don't always want good things to happen. See, let me help you. There's some things that have happened over the last few years in our lives that the people allow, but God is against. See, what do you mean, Brother Mason? I'm going to start messing with y'all because sometimes we get and we get comfortable in what we believe. God is not for a man married a man. God isn't for a woman married a woman. But a politician decided that. And the people allowed it to happen. Y'all following me? Okay, so Herod is not a follower of God. He is has his own agenda. And y'all, let me stop. I don't want to just stop there because y'all think, God ain't for weed being legal either. Some of y'all see that? Uh-huh. Y'all been waiting for weed to be legal in Tennessee. God ain't for that either. God ain't for alcohol being legal. I'm finna come down your street. Okay. Look. God isn't for prostitution. God isn't for anything that is sinful. So I don't want to stop right there when I address homosexuality and then we think that this is a sermon about homosexuality. That's not what it is at all. Because why I say that, I believe that the person who is struggling with the sin of homosexuality can be saved as well. Amen. All right, so I don't want you to think that when I say something against God not approving of homosexuality, I think that their souls are just naturally condemned. The homosexual can repent of sin just like the fornicator. The homosexual can repent of sin and follow God just like the adulterer or the drunkard or whoever it is. Y'all follow me? Okay, so this is not a bash. I'm not bashing a person. I'm bashing sin. Amen. All right. Just let me make sure I get that right. So So Herod wants Peter to die, but he wants to put on a show. And this is what the good thing, this happens. While Herod is waiting for the Passover or the festival of the unleavened bread to be over so he can have everybody's full attention. See, let me help you. See, during the Passover, the focus was on the different items or the different routine things that took place during the Passover. So the Jews, if he had killed Peter during the Passover, he would not have had his optimal crowd. He would not have had everybody's attention. You know, it's kind of like when the president gets up to say something when he does the State of the Union. You know, he makes sure that he has everybody's attention. Why? He picks a certain time of day, and he cuts off everything on your TV. Y'all follow me? He cuts everything off on your TV so you paying attention to him. So what happens here is that Herod can't kill Peter during the middle of the Passover because the Jewish people are going to be more concerned about the ritualistic things they do during the Passover than they can to watch out for Peter losing his life. So he got to wait. And when he waits, the Christians pray. Now that's big, y'all. Watch what we do while you wait. See, the Christian always takes a stance. See, we always take a stance of activity. See, we don't believe in just letting things happen. We believe that we have an active, powerful God, So even when people think that we're sitting by and watching and letting things go on that we don't agree with, that's not what happens. While you wait, we pray. Amen. We never find ourselves in a situation when we are not going to do what God expects us to do. Yep. See, so there are some things going on now. Mm-hmm. People are waiting to do you in. But watch what you do while we wait. Watch what we do while you wait. We're praying. So, but it's not just about us, the activity of prayer. It's about what prayer does to God. What prayer does as it relates to activating God's power. See, the reason why prayer is so beautiful and the reason why the best stance for a Christian is on his knees in prayer is not because we like to get on our knees to talk to God. It's because when we do it, God's response to his children is one that is awesome. See, that's what makes prayer so good. You can talk to many people all you want to. I can come here and talk to Brother Green. I can talk to Brother Clemens all I want to. But talking to them doesn't mean that much, right? It might be good fellowship. I might enjoy what they say. They might even be able to get me some good advice. But they don't have the power to change my situation. But when I talk to God in prayer, what makes it so special is that God is, when I talk to him, I activate all of his power. I activate all of his grace. I activate all of his mercy. And when I do that thing, now I'm letting God do what he does best, which is take care of me. Y'all follow me? See, he was waiting. But what was the Christians doing while he was waiting? And then let's see. They start praying. The Bible says, and they prayed earnestly. Now watch what happens. Watch what happens. And I want you, if you don't have to shout now when you see what God did, I'm not going to ask you to shout now. Actually, I'm not going to ever ask you to shout. I want you to shout when you feel like it's time. But you don't have to, you don't even have to say amen right now. Just watch what God did when the people prayed. And then take some courage on what God will do for you when you pray. Okay, now he says, the night before, Herod was going to bring Peter's case forward. I think it's important that it was the night before. I think it was important it was night before. See, because you know what I think is happening? And y'all, this ain't in the text. I just feel like this is what's going on. See, Peter been in prison. But God goes and rescues Peter the night before. That means that Herod got he got everything set now. He's got the stage set. He already done told everybody, I'm going to be on television Monday night at 7 o'clock, and I got a special announcement. The problem is that he didn't set up a prime time event. But what's going to happen is now all the people are waiting to see what Herod's going to do. And the crowd that he has brought to put on a show, he's about to get embarrassed. Because he has no time to go and fix what he already set up. You know what I'm saying? See, this is what happens. It's like this. If a man and a woman get married, y'all follow me? And they get ready to get married, and the wedding is set. The caterer already got the food. Everybody already got their tuxedo. Everybody's already ready to go. They're at the altar. The man at the altar. Music playing pretty. Mama and daddy in the audience. Now, the worst thing that could happen to that man while he's sitting up there waiting, while he's sitting up there waiting for that woman is what? For her not to show up. Oh, no. That's the worst thing that could happen for that man. Because not because he's embarrassed. He's embarrassed. He's probably heartbroken and all of those things. But not only is he embarrassed, everybody's watching. It ain't no time for him to go home and not show up himself. Ain't no time to get his money back for the catering. Ain't no time for him to get his tuxedo taken back to the place. At this point in time, the stage is set, and he waiting. See, so what happens is that Herod was that man at the altar. He set the stage for everybody to see him whoop Peter pretty good. And then God did the night before when he had no time to call the caterer back, no time to take his tuxedo back, no time to redig on his announcement. God went and changed everything. So guess what happens? The people still come to see the show.
but they're going to see God's show instead of Harris. Watch what we do while we wait. Watch what we do while you wait. So look and see what God did. I'm getting ready to be done. I know y'all saying he said he was going to be quick. I'm coming. All right, that's the second time I said it. I got two more left. Here we go. The night before Herod was going to bring Peter's case, Peter was asleep between two soldiers and bound with two chains. With soldier, you know, some kids like that. You see that kid, they say he was bound with two chains. Y'all, some of y'all ain't going to get it. Y'all ain't going to get it. The young folks going to get it. They're going to get it. They don't get it. But God can break two chains too. I'm just saying. Yeah, you know, look. Yeah, when I come down y'all street, young people, y'all all say amen. You know what I'm talking about. Stop giggling and say that's right. Anyway, all right, so he was bound with two chains with soldiers guarding the prison entrance. Suddenly an angel from the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the prison cell. After nudging Peter on his side to awaken him, the angel raised up and said, quick, get up. The chains fell from his wrist. Now watch this, y'all. I think it's important to see that God is such a good God that when he decided to rescue Peter, he sent something that wasn't always there. See, God could have just allowed Peter to get up, or he could have, like he did in another passage with Paul, allowed him to fall asleep. But at this point in time, God decided to send an angelic creature. And he nudged Peter and said, Peter, let's go. Man, wouldn't that be an escort? I'm telling you, if God got me out of something and he allowed the angels to escort me out of that thing. You see, Peter didn't have to run. He didn't have to hide. He said, the angel said, get up, get dressed, put on your sandals. Now, watch all the things that are happening. I think we can learn a lot about a Roman prison if we just look at what Peter had to do. So what we know is that Peter is chained to the ground. On his wrist and his feet, and he's naked. You see that? How do we know that? Because they said they broke the chains, and he told him to put his clothes on. So Roman prison wasn't no joke. All right, so he said, get up, get dressed, put on your sandals. And Peter did what he was told. The angel said, put on your coat and follow me. Following the angel, Peter left the prison. However, he didn't realize that the angel had actually done this. He thought he was dreaming. He thought he was seeing the vision. Have you ever been in a situation where God worked it out and you sit back and you said, I know this ain't happening. This can't be real. Somebody pinched me. Ain't no way in the world that God is going to do this like this and just in front of everybody. Have y'all ever done that? I've been in some situations that seemed real dark. Seemed like it was going to be rough. And God started working everything out right in front of me. And I was looking, I said, oh my goodness, God, you did not do this. And he just kept on working, and he was moving and doing it. And I said, man, I was almost like Peter. I had to pinch myself and say, is this real? But God didn't. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to keep on going. However, he didn't realize it was an angel that had actually done this. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed by the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. Yeah, they said that Peter, it doesn't say that the guards tried to stop him or nothing. I don't know what the angel did. I don't know if he made the guards go to sleep. I don't know if he paralyzed them and they couldn't move. But what I really think happened is that he let the guards and all of the guards see God in all his glory. Because the Bible said he passed right by the guards with the angel. Ain't that a good thing? I feel like if I was Peter, I would have strutted a little bit. Yeah, here I go. Here. He passed by the first and the second guard, and they did nothing to stop him. I don't know. Maybe the guards were going to be the one to report back to Herod that they had messed up. Either way it goes, Peter, and I'm adding this, Peter strutted past the guards, both of them. And it says, then he came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. Woo! Look here. Well, the reason I want you to realize, though, why did all of this happen? Go back to verse 5. Because when they had Peter, the church offered earnest prayer. Amen. We're not just talking about what's going on for Peter. We're talking about what led to that. Amen. Watch what we do while you wait. Okay, so the Bible says that the gate, and not just any old kind of gate, it wasn't one of them holy fence gates
like the ones that you know we build around the schoolyard. This was an iron gate. That meant it was a heavy gate. If you know anything about Roman culture, it took a few people to move that gate. But the Bible says the gate was automatic. You know, it was like it was on a remote control. It's like Peter was walking to the gate and he clicked it. And that thing opened up and he walked on out of the gate. Opened by itself. After leaving the prison, they proceeded the length of one street when abruptly the angel was gone. Sometimes, and you got to get this, sometimes God sends us people to get us through situations. And the people are only there temporarily. And they are there to escort us out of some bad situations. But watch it now. Once the angel left, Peter had to keep walking. See, sometimes what happens is we are connected to people. God gives us someone to help us through. And as soon as our support leaves, we stop moving. But God says that the angel abruptly was gone, but Peter kept on walking. It says in verse 11, and that Peter came to his senses and remarked, now I'm certain that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod and from everything the Jewish people expected. You see that? Everything the Jewish people expected. They was waiting on this. Realizing this, he continued walking on. He made his way to Mary's house. Mary was John's mother. He was also who was also known as Mark. Many believers had gathered there and were praying. When Peter knocked at the outer gate, a female servant named Rhonda went to answer. She was overcome with joy because she knew it was Peter. She recognized Peter's voice. And she was so excited. This is funny here. She didn't even open the gate. She knew it was Peter, but she was so excited that she said, oh, my goodness, it's Peter, and ran back. Hey, you know, that happens sometimes. You know, my daughter did that to me the other day. I was gone out of town, and I was coming in the garage, and when I said, Darren, my garage door was open or was broke. And I said, Darren, come down to the garage and let me in. She said, okay. So she came down and opened the garage. And when I pulled into the house, she was standing at the door. And she said, Daddy home. She said, my daddy home. And boy, let me tell you, my spirit was just overjoyed. When she said, I just saw her twisting, I told Kayla, made my whole weekend when she just started switching her arm like she didn't know what to do with herself. She said, Daddy home. Come on in, Daddy. And she ran back in the house and closed the door. I said, Darren, you locked me out. Anyway, but she was so excited, she didn't know what to do. Anyway, so Rhonda heard Peter's voice, and she didn't open the gate. Instead, she ran back and announced it, that Peter was standing at the gate. And the people said, you have lost your mind. She stuck by her story, though. She said, listen, y'all, that's Peter at the gate. Now, here's a lesson for us. What we do while they wait is that we pray. But we better believe in what we pray for. See, because God had answered their prayer. And he had done it probably just like they asked him to. I'm convinced that they probably were praying and they were saying, Lord, please don't let Peter be killed. Lord, please allow Peter to escape prison. Lord, please let your will be done in Peter's life. And they was praying, and they was praying, and then their prayer came knocking. Their blessing came knocking. They said, girl, you crazy. Ain't no way in the world that Peter out there. Listen, y'all, when we pray, bet your bottom dollar God gonna do something about it. See, sometimes we pray, and we pray ritualistically. But we don't pray with the faith that it's going to happen. See, I love what Eric said this morning. He said, I wasn't doing well, but I asked my son, are you worried? Or my wife asked my son, are you worried about Eric? He said, no, God got him. What that meant is I've been praying. And I don't just got faith that I'm not just praying because my prayer sound good. I got faith that when I ask my God to work on my daddy, he gonna do just that.
See, sometimes when we pray because we want somebody else to hear us. But what I'm trying to tell you is while they wait, we pray, but we pray with a certain kind of heart. We pray believing that God is going to do exactly what we ask. And we also believe that if he doesn't do exactly what he asked, whatever he decides to do is going to be better than what we asked for. You got to watch that prayer thing. You got to watch that thing. Because sometimes we just, oh, Father, thou wonderful Father, God of Isaiah, Moses, Abraham, thou who has done all things. And we say all this stuff, and we sound very, very ecclesiastical, and we don't believe nothing that we say. And then we come back in here, and we say, I prayed for it, but God didn't come through. And sometimes I wonder, did you pray and believe that he was coming through? Did you have faith when you prayed? Or were you just saying some stuff so you can come and say you prayed for it? See, because sometimes we say, Lord, fix this. Lord, help me. And as soon as we get finished praying, we get to working to fix it. As soon as we get finished praying, we get to work and try to do it on our own. No. When you tell God, God, I need your help, just wait. Just wait on it. Just wait on it. Because he coming through. And he going to come through sure enough. And I love the fact that God sometimes takes my old busted prayer, the one that I think I made real good, the one that I think I asked exactly what I needed, and God will turn that thing upside down, and I look and I say, man, God, that ain't what I prayed for, but I sure glad you did what you thought was right, because what I prayed for, I was going to mess it up. Yeah. So while they wait, we pray. And then the Bible says meanwhile, Peter remained outside knocking at the gate. You know Peter was upset, don't you? Peter's a fugitive. Peter's a fugitive. Peter's on the run. And they got Peter outside knocking. He just got finished walking right past the guards, and they got him outside. You know when you hide, you don't want to wait. Hey, y'all, let me in, right? And they said, oh, Peter ain't outside. But anyway, it's just funny to watch. He remained outside knocking at the gate, and then they finally opened the gate, and they saw him, and they were astounded. They were astounded. He gestured with his hands to quiet them down, and then he recounted. And this is what we got to remember. While they wait, watch what we do, right? He said, he recounted. What did he recount? What the Lord had done for him. He said, tell this to James and his brother and his sister, and then he left for another place. So Peter came in. And Peter did exactly what he was supposed to do. When they finally let him in the house, he said, y'all calm down, because I got a story to tell you. And the story probably went along with some of these lines. Y'all was up in here praying. And while y'all was praying, and while y'all was working to try to help me get myself together, God did something real special. Could you imagine being in the room when Peter said the angels came and got me? And we strolled right past them guards. And the gate was on a remote control. It just opened up for me. Can you imagine that? But what I love about what Peter did, after he explained the story, he said, I got to go. But y'all keep on telling. See, sometimes while people wait, what we do is we pray. And then we get our blessing. We get relief. We are able to get exactly what God needs for us. And we will get so stubborn and so hush mouth that we won't even tell people what God did. That's messing up. When God brings you through something, tell it. Tell it. If you don't have nothing else to tell, tell your testimony. Somebody might not know, you know, you're trying to save somebody's soul. You might not know exactly what scripture to read, but just tell them, last week I was sick. And they said I was going to die. And I'm here today, and that's because I believe in prayer, and God did it for me. You say, Lord, you know, I got ready,
to go pay my bill, and I looked at my account, and I was $78 short. And Lord knows I need them light bills, that light on, because my kids need light. And somehow, some way, I walked down the street, and I found $80. Or I was talking to my cousin, and she said, boy, I forgot to send you a birthday gift. Here's $100. Oh, I was looking to do something. My boss said, come on over and work a few hours extra. And all of this happened when I thought I was all messed up and nothing could happen. That was God. So when you go out into the work, tell somebody. We wait, we pray, and then we tell it. Tell it. You will save somebody's life if you just tell it. Some people waiting on us to fall. Trust that. Some folks are waiting on you to mess up. They waiting on you to fall flat on your face. While they wait, you pray. And then you gonna wait for God to handle it. As soon as God handles it, start telling it. Tell her how good he is. Tell him what he brought you through. Tell him how you had no way out. And you was looking at that brick wall and you say, ain't no way in the world I'm going to get through that brick wall. And God said, look to the left, the window's open. Oh. Tell him. Because God is answering our prayers every day. He's answering our prayers every day. He's doing what we need him to do every day of our lives. Just don't get closed mouth. You know, you wouldn't tell it when you go to Macy's and you went in there and you thought you was getting 30% off and they gave you 60. As soon as you get to the car, you say, girl, they're giving another extra 30. I got to that register. I thought my bill was going to be 72. It was 48. I'm going back tomorrow. You tell it right away. Yeah, so when God does something for you, tell him. Tell him. What are you telling him? You tell him how good God is. You tell him the access to blessings that you have because his son died on the cross and rose with all power in his hands. Amen. Isn't that a good place to be connected to God in that way? I love to call God my daddy because I know my daddy always take care of his children. Amen. So I'm going to tell it every time I get it. I got a good daddy. I got a good daddy. If you are here and you're not a Christian and you're trying to have the same daddy I got, I can show you how. Believe on him with all your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And then go down in baptism and be raised new. If you are a member of the body of Christ and you just kind of forgot a little bit who your daddy was, here's an opportunity for you to circle back. Say, y'all, forgive me of this sin. I ain't been telling him what I need like I need to. While people been waiting, I've been waiting too. I ain't said a prayer the first. And this is your time to rededicate your life right now as we stand and sing our song of invitation.